Hey guys, thanks for listening to Confessions of a Game Dev podcast. We got into some really interesting discussions tonight, and we split up our podcast into two sections. The first section is going to be about the undergraduate games that are coming out of the University of Utah and our chance to play them in their alpha state. And then the second half is all about the current events. Some interesting things happened this week. A lot of debate and discussion happened with our special guest, Andy. So thanks for listening. Have a good day.
Yeah, I'm glad we had pizza before.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because, like, usually when we're hungry in here, I know it kind of smells like pizza in here right now.
I can't smell
it. I didn't even get a piece.
Oh, that's so sad.
I decided to talk about my career and such instead of feeding myself. So, like,
I turned around and I had two sodas
and I was just like, oh, I'm not feeling that hungry anymore. At the end of the conversation, I went to go to the pizza thing and I was like, oh, all the boxes are thrown away, which means I missed out.
You missed the second round, too?
I missed the second round.
Oh, man.
I missed the first round and then I missed the second round.
I can't believe how much pizza everyone went through.
Well, there was like 40, 50 people in here. Like, it was a lot of people.
It was a goddamn undergrads.
Anyway.
Which we love with all our heart.
I love the undergrads, and I like their games.
I just don't like their appetite.
Lay off the pizza. Spend more time making bug fixes instead of pizza.
Spend more time making
games.
It's
good for you.
I haven't eaten all day, and I've made 4 games.
Today.
That's only today.
We took care of that real fast.
I just finished my last one about an hour ago.
Oh, shoot.
You're a game jammer?
I'm a constant game jammer. I'm like a 24-hour game jammer.
If I don't make 365 games this year, I'm totally going to
be cursed. It's like I'm constantly on an 8-hour rotational game jam. It's like I make 3 games a day.
That's it?
That's it. I'm not an overachiever.
So welcome to a game dev podcast, Confessions of a Game Dev podcast.
Oh, man, I already forgot the title.
Oh, no!
Welcome to Dev Game Confessions.
Confessions of things and the food and podcasts.
I didn't get
Diary
the food.
Of a Game Dev.
Diary of a Game Dev?
Game Dev Diaries.
Game Dev Diaries.
Oh, that's our new sister site we're going to put together.
Coming soon to the CW Network. Game Dev Diaries.
A little cursive comes up. It's our new soap opera.
New soap opera. And he needs harp in like the opening.
I know.
He needs like a harp or something.
He's playing the Hyrulean theme.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Yes. This needs to happen. Why is this not a thing? Oh my gosh. Okay.
So this is Spencer Buchanan.
Go right. Brandon Karate.
Ashley McMillan.
Andrew Witz.
A special guest, Andrew Witz. First time.
Yes, it is. This is the first time.
Okay, so they know who we are, but like, who introduce yourself for a fast before we...
Honestly, to kind of make stuff up.
Well, you know, tell us.
I was born, raised by wolves. I mean, no big deal.
Oh, man.
No. Make it up if you're going to make it up.
It's all good. So I am a first year student in the Master Game Studio, Woot, with Cohort 3 at the University of Utah. And I'm in the producer track, but I'm... Oops, that's my phone.
Dude.
Busted.
Turn it off.
Oh, dude, that's terrible.
Failed.
I'm not going to get invited again.
He's been uninvited.
It's a one-time special guest.
I love
thing.
How everyone just turned off their phones. Great. I didn't even bring mine in.
Well, we got to check our time because we always want to make sure not to go
anyway,
over. So.
Where are you from, Andrew?
Anywho's, I am from Boston, Massachusetts.
Woo-hoo. You may catch that in his accent every now and then.
Yeah. A little bit. It's mostly when I've had a few drinks, though, because they kind of indoctrinate us to get rid of the accents. We're not, like, all scummy and such. Because, like, you watch The Town or something like that, and it's just like, yeah, I miss the Oxys and all that stuff. Like, they don't ever talk about anything good. Like, oh, hey, did you check the sports today? It's just like, I got Oxys, and, like, that son of a gun, he stole my wallet and all these things. I gotta go to Harvard tomorrow because my car's all, my car's all impounded and stuff. The judge is a weirdo. never like a normal conversation between people. Oh, it's terrible.
What's an oxy? Shoot.
Oxy? Yeah. Oh, you know, OxyContin. It's a big thing.
Oh, okay.
It's big Sam Charlestown, Dorchester.
Oh, shoot.
Nice.
Anyway,
that's awesome.
But yeah, I'm from Boston. I flew all the way out here to be a game designer / game producer.
Nice.
Rock on.
So, game modes.
Sweet. So, what's your favorite games?
I am first and foremost a massive Metal Gear franchise person.
Rock on.
I love the mess out of the Metal Gear games. Like the main ones, not like the offshoots. Like I didn't really get into the PSP versions. It was just like really weird and offshoots. And
yeah, Acid
I didn't play Acid because I was like, alright, so I love Metal Gear. I never thought to myself, I love Metal Gear so much that I wish they changed the entire system to be about cards. Right?
Yeah.
Like, if there's something that I need is a Metal Gear trading card game, except I don't even get to do the trading card part. Like, it's in the game for me, right?
You know what I like more than Metal Gear Solid? Yu-Gi-Oh! If only! If only!
It's like, man, you know what Metal Gear Solid totally missed on was the effects of Yu-Gi-Oh! Right? It's like, I should be Solid Snake and say things like, a hind D! And like, except when I see a hind D, it's like a giant sea monster comes out and just swallows like three dudes.
You reveal my box card.
Right? I know. Like, and it's not. I don't like use cards or like Pokeballs. I just have cardboard boxes that I open and exposes this giant monster.
Be awesome.
Ridiculous. Yeah, so Kojima-san, Metal Gear 5, box monsters.
more giant creatures.
I can so see that coming to the iPad.
I want to see Snake. No, it's not going to be Snake. It's going to be, it'll be somebody else.
Well, it actually would sell, like, over in Japan, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's just like...
Oh, it's the IP.
Metal Gear and Monster Hunter had a baby. Right?
It'd be awesome. Oh, I just can't wait for the extended fight scenes.
Yeah, exactly. And the 3-hour cutscenes.
Yeah, right? you don't actually fight. You start it. And then it just does the entire fight for you, but he did come out of a box.
Right, it's like opened. A Metal Gear boss fight, right? Like, you're fighting this person, like, they have this personality in the fight, and, like, they're, like, super hard. Then as soon as, like, you punch them in the face, all of a sudden both characters stand still and, like, go on their idle animation. And you're like, oh, yeah, a 3-hour video's coming up about, like, how to kill somebody, but I don't even get to do it. Right? It's just like, oh, yeah, I punched that girl in the face, that metal girl with 9 arms in the face, and then all of a sudden Snake, like, does a dodge roll and shoots her, like, square in the eyes, right? It's like, oh, yeah, I totally did not do that.
All that awesome stuff, that wasn't me at all.
Right, exactly. That's why I was so excited. Like, I played the Metal Gear Rising demo, and I was like, yes, I'm cutting dudes in half, and I'm not watching it, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to make like this awesome meal and you're like right about to like just chop an onion and all of a sudden somebody else comes in, chops it real quick, throws it up, and like all of a sudden a chicken comes out of the oven and like you're like, oh cool. I didn't even get to do it.
Is that really what it feels like? Because I remember seeing the videos and I'm like, no way, you get to chop people up any way you want, you got the craziest, coolest laser sword thing.
Right. Like
but it feels like it jerks the controls away from you.
Yeah, like well, in Metal Gear Solid 4, right? Like you're this is epic chasing. Like it actually is kind of cool. Like all these things are all chasing you, whatever. And like you're like it's like an on rails gun section, and it's really cool. Then all of a sudden you get this cutscene where you know the last time you saw Raiden is like he was naked doing like cartwheels inside this like ridiculous Metal Gear's jejunum, right? It even says like Metal Gear jejunum, right? It's ridiculous. It's like you're in the Metal Gear's pancreas, and it's just like this is. It does not look like a pancreas at all, but fine, I'll go with it. And you're naked and you're holding your little, you know, your nasty parts and doing like, you can do cartwheels holding it and stuff because of censorship and all that ridiculous
right.
stuff.
So that was in 2, right?
Right, in 2. Yeah, like, the last time you see Ryan, you see that, right? Like, you last see Ryan, it's like, oh, naked guy. And then like, fast forward to Metal Gear Solid 4, like almost like, you know, like what, 7 years later? And now, like, he's like, has this sword and like, he can hold swords with his feet. And like he's cutting people up with his feet, and he's holding knives in his toes.
He's grabbing like cables of each on each foot, and like doing break dances holding entire robots spinning off of his feet.
He's like throwing massive robots that are like three tons, and he's just throwing them
like
at
will. Spinning around like not even.
it's like he's doing yo-yo moves with like, you know, like he's doing like, you know, hold the cradle with like all these robots, right? It's like ridiculous.
He's bleeding white.
Yeah, he bleeds white and he doesn't care. He's just like,
whatever. I've been stabbed 100 times.
Like, there's a bunch of knives in him, and he just like exhales, and all of a sudden all the blood just like the white blood just it comes out too. And he's just like, I'm fine. It's the Van Damme moment where, like, you know, he does like the bow thing, like all of a sudden like his muscles just come out. It's like one of those moments.
Yeah.
Well, fast, and like I guess like everyone was like, oh, it's a fantastic cutscene. He's like all badass and stuff, and he's like doing all those things. They're like, oh, we should make a game out of that. Oh. I was like, what a fantastic idea. Of like, oh, we shouldn't even put it in the cutscene, we should put it in the gameplay.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what a novel idea.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Who knew?
Do you think it's gonna work?
I mean, I played the demo and I was just okay. Like,
you liked it, or
I loved it. I was just like, yeah,
because like, what you told me was I got to play. It looked really cool, and then right when I was about to do the cool thing, it took the controls away from me.
Well, that's more Metal Gear 4.
That's more like Metal Gear franchise. Okay. Well, this is like that's the Metal Gear Solid franchise.
Yeah,
this is Metal Gear Rising: Revengeance. Ridiculous name.
We're gonna add a few more untitled subtitles.
So you feel like it's not pulling you away from the controls?
No, like even if they did give me a cutscene where like, you know, I'm chopping the dude up or whatever, it's just like, all right, well, I got to chop him up for a good like 25 minutes. Like, I'm cool if you like finish the job and it's really awesome, right?
Okay.
God of War is you chop somebody up for so long and then like you get an in-game cutscene when you press O.
Press the X button, then press the O button, and then triangle a bunch.
Right. And the reason why it doesn't take you out of the experience is because it's in-game cutscenes, so you don't feel robbed of that experience.
Yeah.
The problem with past Metal Gear games is like the guys literally go back to the idle animation of just like and then it fades to black. Begin cutscene of resolution of fight.
Yep.
Okay.
You did enough damage. Now you get to see the cool cutscene that does all the cool stuff for you.
And right. So in the past, you felt cheated, but now you feel
it's not cheated. It's just
the franchise, right? Like I'm like sitting here and I'm saying all this stuff about why I don't like the things about Metal Gear, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as Metal Gear comes up, I get $60 just ready to throw on a table because I want I want to play it because like the mechanics of the Metal Gear are awesome, but like that's the one gripe that I think everybody has of just, you know, I want to play the awesome things that are happening in the cutscene. And we're at a point in time where, you know, games like God of War and, you know, games like God of War and other games where, like, you don't, you know, you're not robbed of the resolution of a battle or whatever with a cutscene. You can actually do it in game.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, that's one of the things where between the Western market and the Eastern market, where they need to kind of, you know, the Eastern market needs to actually come over and meet that because your games sell so well in the West. So you need to kind of meet them in the middle.
Yeah.
Like Castlevania, right? Like Castlevania is very God of War.
Yeah.
Even though Castlevania, in its essence, is not God of War.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a more of a Metroid game.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Metroidvania.
But yeah, I like Metal Gear about me. about me. By bio.
And that was Drew. Drew and Metal Gear.
So, Karate has gotten a little overexcited this week, and he's
okay.
got like... But we're not going to get there yet.
Oh, okay.
I want to spend just 2 minutes...
Oh,
which
no.
equals 20.
So half an hour.
I just want to talk about everyone's impressions of the games we played today. So graduate students. So we did have pizza today because the professors brought in all the undergrads, which are making games in groups. And there's three different games, and I thought they're all interesting. They
it's
all
gonna be difficult for listeners to understand what we're talking about.
Well, I think it'll give you a challenge to describe the game as simply as possible because I think I could describe all three games.
Okay,
yeah.
Shoot, go.
No. I lose.
I heard the gauntlet thrown down.
So he challenged the gauntlet, and you were just like, the gauntlet accepts.
Go.
Okay. So three games. They're all. What would you consider that like mid alpha?
Probably.
I think they're pre-alpha. I think that, you know, two of them are approaching post-alpha.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're still fleshing out their mechanics is one of the things. So the one I liked the most was Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Simple platformer. And I called it this, and they're like, whoa, but it's what about this and this? I was like, no, your game is Metroid's grapple hook. But you can rappel with it. That's your game.
Yeah.
That's what I told karate. I told a bunch of guys in the karate. We were talking before about the game, and I said that too. I was like, it's basically Bionic Commando.
Oh yeah.
Except with magnets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like even like the and you feel that way because, you know, most of the things you're doing are swinging and rappelling. It's almost like if your arm could smash down and like you could like go gadget up, right, with the arm instead of just, you know, swing from it.
Oh
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Go-Go Gadget meets Metroid meets Bionic Commando. But you can shoot up and straight, not just diagonal.
Right, you can pull up and you can push away.
So, yeah. And they had this other mechanic where you could take your head off. You're a robot. Take your head off, and you can throw that for things. And everyone I talked to was like, that is ridiculous. It doesn't make sense with this game. And I agree. And I totally thought the head throwing thing just didn't work because it felt like they were trying to attack two really big mechanics. Well, and they just should have focused on the one, which was the magnet grapple hook.
The thing is, you can incorporate both. Batman, like I was telling... Some of these guys have heard this a couple of times.
I think this is probably my fourth.
Batman Arkham City has an element where you're trying to get these collectibles,
yeah,
and you use magnetics to attract and repel these little ball with the question mark inside of it to around the little mazes. Okay, it's the Riddler's challenges and those kind
of
things.
One of the Riddler's challenges,
yeah.
And so that's using that same element in a 2D environment with the head. I think would make sense because you have the repel and you have the attract, and it has an interesting like little puzzle. It's not like twitch reactions, but it's thought. It's just, okay, I need to attract here, I need to repel here, I need to go back and forth. And it gives it something different to slow down the gameplay. I think there's possibilities with the head. I don't know if you ever played Never Dead.
Yeah, uh-huh. I played Never Dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
They use the head for that.
There's
game
also
all
Lollipop
the time.
Chainsaw yep. has the severed head, too.
Yep, yeah. They use the severed head.
See, I contest, though, that it doesn't need to be head. It can be a companion cube. It can be an object that
you
can push
that.
And pull.
Well, that's the same thing, though.
They have that in there. Right?
I don't know. It's just, it feels weird when it's coming off your own body, and it's a device that you're
He's
using.
A robot. Well, he's a magnet robot.
that's where I think it works, right?
Yeah,
that's why I think it works. Like I don't know. Like the rationale for the head is whatever, right? Like,
yeah,
that's whatever.
It's still
you're a robot held together by magnetism, right? Like mm-hmm, that's sure. that's the robot's whole thing,
yeah.
And that's the whole existence for like the premise of the game.
Yeah.
So the head thing, I didn't mind. When I tried it a few times, for some reason there was a collider that whenever I tried to throw it an arc, it would hit an invisible wall.
Yes.
It
would oh, yeah,
and
that was
spike right down, and I'm like, "What is going on?"
Well,
here?
That's more bug fixes, though.
Right, but that brought up a question to me of why would I'm like? So it took me. It takes a long time for you to remove the head, right? Like
yeah,
you press
that was
Y.
Frustrating.
It's just like there's this animation you go through. Like you remove the head, then you hold it in your hands, and now you can throw it.
Yeah,
and you need to hold Y for the entire duration of the animation, which you know tuning. Control tuning
right.
with what's going yeah. on or whatever. But one thing I didn't like about the whole thing is that they showed me a puzzle part, and it had the things, like you were talking about, it had the companion cube piece where you manipulate with the magnetism, right? You pull it and do whatever. I just didn't know what to do with it, right? Because you can't fire it, right?
Nope.
Like yeah. you can't
you have to throw it.
You can't fire it. You have to like throw it. So you need to attract it to your hand, and then you need to repel it. But it's not like a fire thing, right? It's not like, you know, you do it and you do that and you fire it in a direction. And I didn't even know what to do with it, right? Like the triggers and stuff weren't explicit. Like when I see a puzzle, I go, okay, here's the apparatus, mm-hmm. here's the movable pieces, right? Here's the movable pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah.
How am I gonna actually move these pieces in the right order, or in the right way, in the right sequence, so that I can get to the next point? I didn't really get most of that from, you know, their level. Like that's. I think that game was the strongest game today, but I think their level design needs a lot of work.
Did you play any of the other levels that they had?
I played five levels. Oh,
okay.
They had.
Okay.
Okay.
So there was one level where it was like, well, this is just a demo to show all the different things
their
you can do.
Their tutorial level was
Their
not
tutorial level was doo-doo.
Well.
It was doo-doo, and I said, I hate this game because of this level. And they're like, well, let's play this other. They're like, but the levels are, we got more. And I was like, okay, show me one. I was like, okay, this is a completely different game and experience than what you showed me the first
time. I'm such an advocate for that game because I played at the open house in December.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, this is awesome because I can fly with this whole rappel thing, mm-hmm. and like the trailer for their game sells it right off the bat, right? Like
yep.
you know what you're doing in the trailer for that game.
Yeah.
But like the tutorial, I was like, I'm jumping. Like I said, can I try the tutorial game again? And I counted how many times I jumped versus how many times I used magnetism.
Right.
I jumped 29 times.
Uh-huh.
I used magnetism 8.
Wow.
I wrote that down on their notes.
I never even thought of that. But that demo level. Like, there was, like, 3 magnet points. You had to jump on the first one and then grab the next one and grab the next one. Like, you never jumped. You were doing nothing but
yeah.
magnetism,
mostly,
which was
mostly
way funner.
Yeah, I wanted to just, you know, I was just like, listen, you gotta, if jumping's a big part of your game, it's an A button, right?
Yeah.
It's A button and press forward. anybody can learn that, because like you have the Mario thing, right? Like you're not innovating on Mario.
Yeah.
You're innovating with your magnetism thing.
Sure.
So you spit like, give me four platforms to jump on, and then I want to be swinging with your magnets. I want to be repelling with your magnets. That all needs to be in your tutorial.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really care about your jump.
Yeah.
No.
Like, that's not.
And the jump doesn't even feel good anyway.
Jump is a jump, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Jump is like, it's jump's been in games for like almost 30 years.
Well, we were talking about this, about like even removing the jump, like if you did that. And at the time, I like the idea of the jump because it offers some more floaty atmosphere. But at the same time, I go back to Batman because I like it. You can't jump. You can't jump in Arkham Asylum. There's no jump and there's no
you have like a dive, right?
You dive off and you float and you have your grapple.
You have a dive, right? Like, right. That's pretty much it. And the dive initiates the glide.
Right. But you, like, you're in place, you can't jump around.
Yeah.
Okay. And you never miss it at all. And the game is built around not needing it at all, which is interesting. You know, and so like the same aspect, if you were to build the levels around, you don't have to jump. You need to float.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Jumping is counterintuitive to what you're trying to do.
Right, yeah. And like that works well because the level design in Arkham City and Arkham Asylum, Arkham City is more designed around the glide, right? Arkham Asylum is designed around the grapple.
Yes.
So both games, like the Arkham City is like, okay, there's no need to jump, right? Because you're a man who's 6'4" and you're never gonna jump on like a 5-story building.
Right.
Right? And then when in an Arkham City they, you know, how you get on top of the buildings is the grapple, which you learned to death in Arkham Asylum.
Yep.
And they go, okay, how you get to the building that's like, you know, how you get to the building that's like 2,000 feet away or 2,000 meters away is you hold down A, which is a glide, and you glide all the way across the thing.
Yep.
So the level design, their level design is all about blocks, right? It's very blocky. And fine.
Batman or the...
No, I'm sorry, Attraction. Attraction is very blocky, right?
Yes.
It's like, that's why the jump is necessary, because they're going with this aesthetic of, like, everything is very blocked out. It's a very blocked out, you know, world where, you know, robots and blocks and
geometric,
whatever.
Geometric, mechanical, which, and they had a clashing art style, actually, on their tutorial level. They had grass growing on this mechanical plane. And
they were trying to explain to me, like, well, first you're on a lush, organic area, and then you fall down a hole... And there's hints of flowers, but everything is very
mechanical. I didn't get that. No,
I didn't get it. I'm like, okay, if that's what you're going for, I guess, but this didn't represent that.
Robots is wires. Robots is
mechanical.
Circuits,
it's gears. It's metal. It's
but the thing is,
hard surfaces.
I don't care. Right.
Well, that's more mechanics, though. Like, you have to look at both sides of the game.
I care because I'm an artist. Okay, I notice that kind of thing.
Right, yeah, but like, what's going to make that game fun is not grass, right? Like, you don't like play a game and you walk away being like, man, that grass was dope.
I'll give you an example.
Flower.
But the thing is, like, you went, like, okay, fine. Flower is a different example, mostly because flower actually leads to why that game is good. But the grass is why that game is good. If you take the grass away from it, and then, like, you're, like, gravel and dust or whatever, the game kind of sucks.
No, but okay. So I get your point, but I just had to be a jerk about it. But I get your point.
But the thing is, aesthetics can add so much more.
Absolutely. But this stage of the game.
Yeah. This is gameplay.
You don't care.
Yeah, aesthetics.
I'll give it.
In May, I walk away and like, of course, I'll be like, oh yeah, you know what was cool? The mechanics were solid, and you know what? That background was gorgeous.
Yep.
Like I was super into that world because jumping around that world, like jumping is cool, but jumping around that area is even cooler.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
But at this stage of the game, I was like,
it's got to be.
Why are you falling for like 30 seconds? Yeah. Like, the opening of the demo is like, all right, it's this flat plane, and then there's this hole that you have to walk through, and you go down this hole, and you're falling for, like, maybe 15.
There's nothing to grapple. There's nothing. Like, you just
like,
you
this
don't
is
understand.
Fun.
You just fall for 15 seconds, and I was like, oh, man, like, they didn't even finish the level.
Okay.
And then you stop.
All right.
Moving on.
Let's go to the next one.
Next one. Avatar Ninja?
Okay, I actually really like this game.
Okay, I don't get it. I want to not like it.
Okay.
Inherently, but I don't get it. So explain it.
There's a game.
There's a lot of games.
There's a lot of games. There's a game, Captain America on Android. It's the only Captain America game there is in there. But they have a lot of the
Sega
same.
The Sega Arkham Asylum ripoff?
It's not on Android, I don't think.
No, but it's on Sega made it with
Oh, okay. Yeah, but okay. Anyway. No, but I did play that one, too.
Be better than the Android.
I played that one, too. I wanted to like that one, really, but it's just not as good. But anyway, so how do you mess up throwing a shield? I'm like, come on, that's cool.
No, punching somebody.
I know. I was upset. Anyway.
Digressing.
You communist. So anyway, but on the Android, they have it's a 2D side scroller where everything is jumping off of things, and you're jumping and you're wall climbing across things. All the things that they're putting in this game are in that game, but it's all in 2D. Okay.
The Captain America.
The Captain America one.
Mirror's Edge.
Mirror's Edge has it. Prince of Persia has some of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of games that use these kind of mechanics. One of the main weaknesses that I saw. So I guess the game itself is basically running around, jumping, and doing ninja moves off of platforms, walls, boxes, etc.
It's like Avatar Ninja Warrior.
Kind of.
Ninja Warrior is like a show.
Ninja Warrior.
So
except no double jumping.
And you're using the Xbox Avatar, which is cool. The problem with the game is that when you jump onto a surface, I'm using this as an illustration, even though nobody can see me. Okay, when you
he's gesturing to the wall.
If you go to a wall and you jump onto a surface, he immediately starts to wall run across that surface.
Yeah.
Prioritizing over climbing up.
Yeah.
And the controls were not tight enough to like jump off, because you're going in all kinds of directions depending on what that was. I said, "What you need, you just hold down a button in order to wall run."
Oh. Just a wall run.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. As soon as you hold down the button, he starts a wall run. That's all you have to have. Because then you don't have to worry about the rest of it. He's always going to jump otherwise. And you can tighten the controls. And so, like, this is a completely different state. It's really easy. Okay. That's why I really like the idea of the game, because it's running around in a free running environment in a game. I played Mirror's Edge and I liked it, mm-hmm. but it's so scripted. Everything you have to do in Mirror's Edge. You have to do it specifically their way. Go along the red surfaces, because that's where you need to be.
Hmm. Yeah, that game comes alive not in the campaign, like you're saying. That game comes alive in the time trial.
Yes.
Because you go online, and there's non-lit areas of... The easiest way to get... The fastest way to get through a course in that game is not the red areas, right?
Yes.
It's like climbing a vent that you didn't know you can climb. And like the level designers purposely put that stuff in the game in order to have time trial competitive. Which is totally opposite from the campaign,
yes,
right?
So, exactly.
Mirror's Edge is really a time trial, parkour game that they made a weird campaign.
Yeah, the campaign is just not that great.
Yeah,
and so like that's why the time trials are what sell that game. And this game feels like, or the Avatar Ninja, whatever it's called, something like that.
Avatar Ninja.
It feels like a time trial game where it's like, okay, I need to make through this course. I'm doing Ninja Warrior with my avatar here. Boom, I jump. But it has to be precise. It has to be, when I push a button, it has to react immediately. And I have to know exactly what it is. Otherwise, I feel like the game's cheating me out of the gameplay.
Yeah.
You know? That way you can make it difficult. It's like, it's a lot like, what was that game? Super Meat Boy.
Okay.
Super Meat Boy is a game that you love and you hate at the same time, because if you die, it's your fault. It's nobody else's fault. Yeah. The game is brilliant as far as like the controls are super tight, super precise, and when you screw something up, it's all your fault. And you're like, I can do this.
Right, and it teaches you how to react to the things you're reacting to, mm-hmm. which is why it's so good.
Yeah.
Did you play the game?
I did not get a chance to play it. There was kind of a long line because there was only one.
Unfortunately, it kept breaking every time.
Yeah.
Luckily, the draw, he was like, oh, it works. And I was like, me! And then I jumped in and played it.
So for the Xbox indie guys, if you know a way so you can develop without having to be connected to Xbox Live before you publish, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because we kept on running into an item 7 error or something like that.
It's
just the connection was doo-doo on the Xbox. Well, it was our internet cable.
But that's for a development tool. That's kind of a pain in the butt.
No, totally.
The pain in the butt from the foundation of it is they have to develop on the Xbox itself. They can't take the build onto like 3 PCs.
I thought they could. I thought the other two...
It needed to be on an Xbox.
Because it was using the avatars.
And the avatars. The avatars you develop on an Xbox.
Yep.
So I was
talking to like our instructors, and I'm like, so let me get this straight. It's a Falcon chip Xbox. If the Falcon chip goes and it red rings, the game is dead.
It's gone.
It's completely gone forever. And he was like, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Like you're saying he gets...
I was like, holy crap. If I was in that team, I would be smoking 3 packs a day. Just being like, that Falcon ship goes, my life is over.
But you're saying that the entire build all their development stuff is on that.
It's on the Xbox.
If somebody falls down the stairs holding that Xbox
and it explodes
and it breaks, their game is over.
They don't
all
have
that work is
somewhere?
Gone. You can't.
Are you kidding me? There might be, like, if the cloud chains, they might
oh,
be able
to. Oh, you may be able to, like, back up.
They might be able to cloud stuff and back it up.
But,
that
but
way.
You're doing
but
development.
Still, that's ridiculous.
But still, like, they basically made, like, it's crazy. It boggles my mind. It gives me anxiety just thinking about
that thing. Not only that, I mean, like, with the XNA disappearing and, XNA support disappeared last year.
This week.
This week.
It's initiating this week. It will probably trickle down to its full effect probably in, like, a month.
But. Right. Yeah. But the fact that that's gone, it's, like, even better. Oh, great. Hey, we need to fix this. Sorry, we don't have any support for that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, that blows my mind. That's that they have to develop the entire game.
Right, it blows your mind, right? Like it seriously makes me concerned about just like game development for Avatar games in general. Like, did you only expect it for like people with dev kits? Like, I have 9 dev kits I can spare, so I can just develop on 9 dev kits simultaneously. So
yeah.
If I get drunk and like you know, and I get drunk and like push one over one night, if like one Falcon chips, like. It's just crazy. And having one, I don't know, kudos to those guys for like that must be like a baby to them, right? Like it must be like bringing around a newborn constantly.
Okay, so this is the other edge of that game, which is the Avatar part.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, this does not look at all interesting to me because all it is the Xbox avatars. Now, I understand that I'm taken from the perspective that I have not spent $1 on my Xbox avatar. I don't care about, like, I've seen those Avatar games and they don't interest me because I don't want to play me as me in the game. I want to play something that's akin to that
so
environment.
Like, there's different types of gamers, right? I mean, there's, like, for me, okay, when I played Mass Effect, I spent hours getting the face right. Okay.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Sitting there going, he needs to look exactly the way I want him to look. Okay. Oh, the nose is not quite right. I need to open the nostrils just a little bit more. You know? Like, that's stupid.
He needs to breathe, man.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, that's how specific I got into that point. And that was the more important. I mean, seriously, I spent more time on that avatar than the first half of the game.
Wow.
Okay? Because you're just like, holy crap, I need to do this, and he's got to look like this. Right. And the hairstyle, oh, that doesn't look quite right. To the point that I reloaded twice because I got him into the game, and he didn't look quite right. He was too pale, or he's like just a little off, and I did it all over.
Wow.
Okay? Because like, you're sitting there, because you're going to spend a lot of time with this character, you know, and then that's important to me. It's not important. Some people do go to the default separate, and they're perfectly fine.
Yeah, and that's me. I'm definitely, whenever I get something like Mass Effect, I'm like, whatever, random.
Right.
You look good.
That's the difference. It's just like and so for avatars, it's the same deal. I don't spend a lot of time on avatar, but I have him set up the way I want him to be.
Yeah.
You know, he looks like he's wearing the outfits that I want him to wear. I have my guy, he's running around with toy submachine guns, shooting stuff.
Which, by the way, are pretty awesome.
I know. That's, it's dumb.
I noticed it the other day, and I was like, I'm pretty jelly. I'm pretty jelly that he found this for me. Like, my brother found like the Yoda lightsaber that makes you do like backflips and all that stuff, and I had like the crappy one where you just wave it and like, force push them. And I was like, oh man, how lame am I? But, like, I'm the bigger Star Wars fan, and I had the crappiest version of
it. No, you need the double. They have doubles now, and they also have a black lightsaber.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, from Starkiller.
Yeah,
black lightsaber.
It's pretty
cool.
I
was like into it for a little bit, but I was like, Yoda's backflips and stuff are way cooler.
Yeah.
Because I'm like a 6'4" husky man. I'm like, imagine me doing backflips and all that stuff. It just makes me giggle.
Okay,
well,
so
the thing of stylish. And the reason why this ninja thing appeals to it, there's a whole, in that avatar set, there's a ninja moves avatar set.
Oh, I figured. Okay. Oh,
and you can do all these awesome jumps and leaps and free running off of walls and stuff like that. And I immediately, as I saw this game, I went, yes, I've seen my avatar do that. Yes, it would be awesome to play that game.
Okay, so I saw that because I was like, why do I need the avatar? And they're like, well, because that's your avatar. I'm like, I don't care. That's not me. I don't care. What's so important about your game? Like, and I was kind of like, I want a core game mechanic that's interesting, similar to the attraction. And they're like, well, it's just, you're a ninja, man. I'm like, Okay, I'll give it to you. I spent $50 on all my Avatar cool things, but they're all Halo. Like, I am Spartaned out to the hilt. Why the hell would I want to play that?
It would
now?
Be awesome.
And they go, and their response, which is a bad response, like, well, you're just not the right market. I'm like, no.
Oh, okay, that's incorrect.
That's totally incorrect. And
anybody who's on Xbox Live is their market.
Yeah, yeah. And especially anyone that's going to spend money on their Avatar that are that, I don't want to say vain, but are that... invested in their avatar.
Yeah, sure.
They should be wanting to play this game. And here was their catch. Like, and I was like, well, can't you like modify their avatar at all? And they're like, no, we can't give them shirts. Well, we can give them a scarf. We can put a sword on their hand. I said, there you go. If I could be a Spartan ninja with a scarf flowing behind me and a katana in my blade, then I was like, okay, I think I'm getting it. I think that makes sense, that regardless of how much I've spent on my avatar, as long as I get a little bit of insertion into their environment that they're creating, then I'll be interested, especially since how many actually ninja avatars got built out?
There's a lot.
Versus all the other avatars?
There's like, okay, so the way the Avatar store works, have you been in there at all?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, you go, there's different stores.
It's based on games.
Different games.
Right.
There's an entire ninja store.
Yeah, there is.
Like, and there's like 15 different outfits and whole different movesets. And
if you don't want that, then there's the Ninja Gaiden store,
right,
which just has like 9 different versions of how you can be Ryu Hayabusa.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you have all this stuff. Well, what really this boils down to, though, that I think is a main thing of their game, it's free customization.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
okay,
in games, right, half the time with, you know, with any pitch, it's, well, we really wish you could customize your person to your liking because that invests you more in what you're doing.
Sure.
Right? Like, that's always a good thing, right? That's never really a bad thing. I never, like, that's always a good thing most of the time. It's scope-wise, it's terrifying, right? Because now you're like, all right, we need 45 assets, just the main character, and they all need to work together.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's super daunting. The good thing about this, though, is that they don't have to create any assets. Like, so does it work with my avatar as is? So your avatar as is, the way he looks, is important in the game?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Right? Awesome.
Yeah.
Now they have, like, probably 1,000, 1,500 pieces of customization that they don't even have to worry about.
Yeah.
It's just like somebody else is building it for you, right? So now you're tapping into something where you have content that people are paying for. You're not getting a piece of, but your game is taking full advantage of that.
Right. And that's the other thing, is that, like, all these people, they have no resistance to, oh, I don't want to buy anything in their game, you know. They could microtransaction it.
Sure.
Oh, you can customize your stuff. Or it's already done, and they already are like, oh, that's me doing that. Wow, look how cool I am.
Okay.
I spent all this time already customizing this. Boom, I'm already in. You know, I have, like you said, you're invested.
I was just thinking of Chubby's avatar. I would love to see hers going around in a ninja.
Well, the thing is,
that's the skirt and her little.
What's funny is that it all works.
Yeah,
it all works perfectly. It has no problem because all the rigging has already been done.
Yeah,
all the flowing clothing and all the effects are already in there.
Yeah,
yeah. And what's cool is, right, because you can have like the Batman Arkham City full Batman suit, and now you're Batman doing ninja moves. Right?
Dang it! You had me a Batman.
They should be like, look at this Batman suit.
And you also don't get in trouble for any license agreement stuff because that's already part of Avatars.
Like you're licensing so many properties for free.
Yeah, it's like, oh, right, I'm a Jedi now. It. Awesome.
I'm getting it.
Well, like, I'm a Jedi with a Captain America shield. Awesome.
But I get what you.
I guess that's all Disney now.
I played the game, right?
Yeah,
I played the game, and the one thing I think of it is that there's a dissonance, right, between like the avatar piece and what you're actually doing, right? Like the blending of the two is fine. Like, do you ever guys play the Doritos Challenge game? It's like a free game.
No, I didn't.
Well, it's like it's basically like a obstacle course that's a 2.5D, but you're using your avatar, and like you and somebody else are just racing to get to the end. At the end, you get Doritos, they like explode, and all this ridiculous stuff. But I liked that game because it was fun to play. And I liked it from a developer standpoint because I was like, you know what? That's kind of cool because now I don't have to worry about I'm a Dorito. I'm a Dorito mascot. I'm whatever. I'm just me playing this game, right? Mm-hmm. Because that kind of, it was a really short experience and it's free and all that stuff. For this, though, it's cool that you're doing you're doing stuff that's really cool, but I just don't know what's the point. Like, am I doing it because I'm proving my skills as a ninja? Like, what's my motivation for doing it here? Other than just, like, I have a playground, right? Because I can go to a playground and throw on the monkey bars and all that stuff.
If you can put... I want to see your 6'4"-ness go flipping off a monkey bar like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, totally see,
worth it. It's totally
so,
worth it.
So someone told me that there was a game on XBLIG right now called Player Avatar Drop. And it's literally... It puts your avatar... And it plummets, and it ragdoll effects, and they go, yay! And I'm like, it's not a game! It's just, watch what we can do with it's your avatars! Right?
There's toys, right? Right? They make toys with the avatars.
But right now, it feels like a toy. It feels like it's a playground. It's like, walk around, see if you can jump over here and jump over there. And
well, I think
there's
this,
no...
This comes down to the objectives kind of stuff we were talking about earlier, as far as just like...
I think it's a game, but it feels like a playground.
Yeah, it does feel quite like a playground. I mean, there was a definitive path, and I think if they tighten up the controls... Like, you actually feel like, okay, I need to get to this point. And obviously this comes into putting checkpoints in certain areas. I got, you know, it took me 15 minutes to get to this point. Okay, I can start from there next time instead of falling all the way to my death or starting all over. And so if they were able to put that kind of stuff in there, I think that's good. But like, as far as right now, like we talked about before, they're in the mechanic stage. They're just pre-alpha. Make sure it's fun. And so they're still trying to fiddle with the controls.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun playground to be in, right?
Yeah.
Like, everybody loves the sequence of, like, Kung Fu Panda with, like, Po's fumbling over, like, the ninja obstacle course, right?
Yeah.
And that's what the game is right now, is, like, your avatar is fumbling through this ninja obstacle course.
Yep.
And, you know, in 3 months, it could be so refined that it's just, like, you know, you could have that Mirror's Edge effect where it's, like, if they do the level design well enough of, I completed this ninja course in 32 seconds.
Beat that.
Yeah, try me.
And my path that I put online is like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. Like, that's really cool. You can run on top of the monkey bars if you're like, if you time it well enough or whatever, instead of like actually having to swing or do whatever. Yeah. You know, I think the game has a lot going for it, and they're utilizing things well enough.
Yep.
But cool. Like I said, it feels
I'm excited to see it in a month.
It feels like a playground.
Yeah.
Speaking of. This last one was the Guitar Hero Fighting Brawler.
Personally, this is the most frustrating for me.
Was it? I love the idea. I love the idea. It's the same way that communism is great on paper.
They definitely have a lot of work, obviously.
You need to read more.
You're wearing a red shirt.
What's wrong with you?
Better red than dead.
And we're in a red sound booth.
Oh, no.
So this game, you take a Guitar Hero or Rock Band guitar controller, and it's a brawler. So you strum to move, and you hold down buttons while you're strumming to attack people or to dodge, and you beat up people.
The direction of the attack changes depending on if you're
strumming
down,
up or down. Uh-huh. It's interesting. To say the least. It was a brilliant idea.
I love the potential of this idea. The problem with the implementation is that the more I was looking at it, it doesn't feel like you're utilizing the control. Because there's rock music playing in the background, okay?
Yeah.
And it ups in a little bit in tempo, and it goes down in tempo if you're not doing so hot.
Mm-hmm.
And your life bar is essentially this... Think if you're playing Rock Band, you get to a certain point where you're just missing too many notes and it just fails.
Yeah.
It follows that same kind of mechanic with your life. If you're hitting, the more that you hit people, the more your bar goes up. But if the more you get hit, it's going down.
Yeah.
Okay? Which is fine, whatever. That's okay mechanic. What I found annoying was that, and we talked about God of War a little bit earlier, God of War's fighting style is very... You cut through things, but you don't affect things. Okay? And a lot of games do this, where... Going back to Arkham Asylum, because I do. But compare
this happens a lot, doesn't it?
Unfortunately. It works. It applies.
I love the game.
It's very time number 20 today.
I know. It's very common. But like I use it because it's such a groundbreaking game in so many ways, and it's very topical right now. But compare the fighting... combat in Arkham Asylum versus God of War. God of War,
rhythm based.
Yeah, it's rhythm based. It's got a feel. It's got a, you know, you can take on 15 guys and never get hit because you push the right buttons at the right time and you're constantly keeping a flow moving.
Hmm.
You know, all this and movement. Whereas God of War is just spam, 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 spam. Do this combo. Dun 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 dun. Okay, spam. Throw the guy into the air. Spam, spam, spam.
There's one ultimate combo, and as you go through the game, they add a few more squares and triangles.
Yes.
But it's still the ultimate combo.
But you're constantly able to be interrupted every single time in the middle of it because your attacks don't actually affect the animations of the other characters.
Yeah. Well, and I remember
the NPCs at all.
I remember the Force Unleashed Mm-hmm. Kind of were the same way, where you found your primary combo and you just ran with that, but you easily could get knocked out of it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
What's sad about that game is that people played it that way because they allowed it to play that way, probably because in the playtesting they said, all right, people were really reacting, like, it feels really good this way. But, like, I'm a massive Star Wars fan, mm-hmm. like, stupidly.
We're wearing a Star Wars shirt right now, well, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, but I was actually explaining, like, the expanded universe to people earlier, like, what happens to, like, Han and Leia's children and stuff like that earlier today, and I realized I was talking too much.
we should talk later,
like, they were all just like, holy crap, and I was like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the expanded universe. They were just like, yeah, is those the new movies going to be about? I'm like, sadly, probably not. But
speaking of, I'd love to talk to you about that
oh, later. Oh, man.
In that game, there were a lot of combos that were like really, really awesome in that game where they did affect things totally differently, but because the game allows you to play square, square, triangle, square, square, triangle, square, 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 triangle, triangle, whatever, but you could actually do these crazy, awesome combos that you get to kill like 9 dudes at once.
Yeah.
If you like, went through and looked at what was available constantly.
But you never had to learn it.
But like, you never had to learn it because, like, forced, like, because you were just like, oh, you know, why do I need to do that when I can just take this giant AT-ST and bring it down on 9 dudes' heads?
Yep.
You know, like, it's... I love the hell out of that game, but...
Which one? 1 or 2? Or both?
1. I hated 2.
Oh, really?
2 got simplified even more.
I think 2 was the, like, awful... It can't, like... That I've never seen a development team kill off their own franchise as swiftly as 2 did.
Wow.
Ballsy.
All right. Let's tell us how you really feel.
No, it really did, though. Like the Dagobah thing, what the hell is that?
Oh, yeah. That was
really... And, like, the clone thing. Like Hayden Blackman wrote the whole story for The Force Unleashed, and I was like, oh, it fits in with everything. I get it. There's some backtracking, recurring characters. This is a Star Wars tale.
Yeah.
Right? Totally get it. The second one, I didn't know what the hell was going on, and... I'm a clone, and I have visions of whatever.
But you may not be a clone. Maybe you are a clone.
But I may not be a clone. And at the end, it's just like, it doesn't even matter if you're a clone.
Yeah.
Because we have no idea what we're doing, because this is the last game in the Force Unleashed series. Like, I thought, I was like, it doesn't matter what happens, because this is all you're going to get.
Yeah.
Right? The CG trailers are the best part of Force Unleashed 2.
It's true.
Yeah.
Watching him rip that Rancor apart.
You watch Force Unleashed 2, and you're like, oh,
yeah. He looks like a badass.
And, like, he's the Rancor is, like, the small guy in this arena, and, like, you have a bigger thing. I was like, oh, yes. Like, this game is totally tickling my Star Wars fancy.
Yeah.
And then I played the game, and I was like, this is awful.
I actually thought I liked the combos better in the second one. Yes, they were simplified, but it felt like they encouraged me to explore more options of the combos, though. So, okay, yeah. Guitar Hero game.
But anyway, so...
Guitar Hero game, where were we?
But look, we're on combat.
The combat and brawlers and blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's the thing, is like, in this thing, you have the opportunity to use the rhythm properly, and that's why Arkham Asylum is the only game that does this right.
Instrument. You're using a guitar.
Yeah. And so if you want, you know, have things where I'm flicking really fast, I'm like, and like, this is affecting the battlefield, you know? And if I'm doing chords, and you can do it all in guitars. It's like, I need to flick up, I need to, you know, strum up with, you know, green and orange pressed really fast, and he's fired, and then that gives me enough backup rhythm that I can do a heavy attack.
Yeah.
Okay? Or I can react to this.
Is that really happening, or are you just making this up?
This is in a what could be.
Oh, okay.
Instead, he had, they said they had some other attacks, but they only had the one.
Well, they only had one animation. What was going on behind the scenes, I'm sure, because if you held down whatever the third one was,
yeah,
like the third attack button, you did a lot more damage. Like, so I just held that one down and was just like, and I attack all you little pink boxes.
And they were talking about how they didn't have the animations in and stuff like that, but I'm like, for me, then all you don't need a full-fleshed animation. If you just have, this is hit, this is forward hit, that's it. Just, you know, 2 frames, and the timing is there, and I know in my head I can, like, this is white box prototype kind of stuff, where you're just like, I need it quick. Okay.
Or even
show
if
me
pink
pieces.
Flashes, medium hit, green flashes.
Yeah,
hit.
Something.
You know,
so I can see the rhythm of what you're doing. Because, like, the actual animation is not important in this kind of brawler.
No.
At all. You know? Because it's not going to change.
It's going to go by too fast anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you're constantly pressing these things.
And I watched it. I didn't get a play, but I watched it, and I saw he reared back with his arm, and then he punches.
Yep, he goes,
and it's like, that's counterintuitive to every brawler game, where... You know, the traditional animators say they hate these kind of games because they can't do a full flowing motion of, of an animation.
Watch
you have
any
to
of the old ones.
Especially Street Fighters. I mean, any
Street Fighter, Double Dragon. Ooh, you have
like they
Streets of Rage.
Streets of Rage.
It's so funny because you can just hit the A button and like there's no even animation. The fist just comes out of nowhere. Yeah. Like, you keep on doing it, and it's just like, and like the fist even stops moving. I just see like, the flickering of the wrist. And it's so, like, I love the hell out of those games.
Yeah.
Because you can play the whole game by spamming the A button and, like, watching the hilarious villains come out of nowhere.
Well, but I saw the animation where I saw people just going, bam, 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 and you're just hitting the keyboard or the guitar as fast as possible. And they hit it, like, 20 times, and then finally the guitar comes down and slaps.
Well, okay,
you know, so and he attacks
certain,
once.
Certain fighting games have different, like, you go to from Street to Rage and Double Dragon, look at something like Tekken.
Uh-huh.
Tekken fighting has a rhythm to it.
Or yeah. Tekken even has a brawling mode.
Yes.
Not if I'm playing Tekken, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah, the brawling mode. Well, also,
you,
like,
you just like the pogo stick.
Yeah. You ever saw Urban Reign?
Yeah.
That was a Namco brawler, and it followed the Tekken principles as far as like speed. It simplified the controls, but it was still it's rhythm combat. Where versus something like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, where it's a lot of spam.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that's why Tekken's always been interesting. It has that kind of a rhythm to it.
Yeah,
this doesn't like this guitar game. It didn't have rhythm.
It didn't have either though.
Yeah.
And like, that's the problem.
Well, no, it had the pieces of a combat system,
mm-hmm.
but it couldn't decide one way or the other. And if your whole idea is to be using a guitar,
it should
have some rhythm to it.
Yeah,
you know, like, I should be in a rhythm.
You need to really just sell the fact that this is using a guitar. Like, I didn't feel like it sold it quite enough.
Did you hear the pitch? Like when they initially pitched this,
it was going to be a platformer.
No, well, the initial pitch was there's 25 million Guitar Hero guitars collecting dust. Let's make a platformer that reinvents the Guitar Hero controller as a new controller.
That'd be great.
That was the initial pitch. And every time I think about that, I go, geniuses! I mean, that's 25 million people that have a guitar. They're like, I have nothing to do with this. Oh, there's a new game and it's not a Guitar Hero game? That sounds fun, you know?
But it's got to be fun. And
it's got
to
be fun.
It has to be something that uses the guitar, not as a controller, but as the guitar.
Yeah, as much as it's a brilliant idea, I mean, my favorite, like, one of the games that, like, I loved, got me into, like, video games really, really big was Golden Axe. Like, I love brawlers and beat-em-ups. Playing it, it doesn't feel at all like an appropriate brawler or beat-em-up. Like, I'm open to the new controller apparatus. I totally am. But I'm not sold on it being the best way to do it. Like, you know what brawlers need? A guitar. Right? The argument for using a controller, like that, those controllers, because they are collecting dust for a reason, totally awesome idea. But I don't think that, you know what brawlers need? A different controller.
Well, and that's the answer that you have to find. You have to go, why is using a guitar better than using a controller for this?
Yeah.
You know, if I get, because all the things that you can do right now, I could totally do with a controller better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'd be feel more comfortable playing it, and I wouldn't have to worry about it. But if you can give me a reason why, no, this can only be played with a guitar. Like, you could try to play Guitar Hero with a controller sometime. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's awful. You know, it's just like,
I've seen people, like, you know, plug in the mic to their controller, and, like, they're hitting, like, the guitar and singing to the mic there with the actual old Xbox controller.
Right. And it's like, and the thing people try to do that, it's like, it's this is not fun. You know, this is not what the game is designed for, and that's you need that exact answer for this game.
Mm.
Like, all right, it's awesome, I'm using guitar. Why am I not using a controller? Oh, because it's better. It's better as a guitar.
So,
but if not, then that's
Rayman
gone.
Have you played Rayman Legends yet? The demo for it? And like, you're on like the Great Wall of China, and you're like jumping over everything, and like there's a rock song playing with all your platforming.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I played that, and I was like, hell yes.
Yeah.
This is so awesome because my jump over stuff, and it's like, like, it's like this awesome riff, and it changes the riff up and stuff like that. I played that game, and I was like, I just want you to make a whole game that's that demo from Rayman Legends.
Yeah. Mm.
Right? Where it's a brawler, where when I punch somebody, or like I dodge a punch or whatever, the song changes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I liked that whole thing. Like, I'm losing the point of keeping the guitar controller, but maybe if you did it the other way, where if I'm playing a rhythm guitar game and a brawler is happening below, that,
so like that I was thinking, cool. I was thinking Street Fighter, Puzzle Fighter.
It does have.
Do you remember
some of that?
Yeah. I mean, is that what it is? Where you're not doing any of the moves, but if you get a good enough combo, then your character does the moves.
Like, that's how I feel like they should go with the controller thing.
I really want the idea to be good.
Yeah.
So there's a Vita game coming out pretty soon. It's a rhythm fighting game.
Oh, okay.
I saw the
You saw the trailer for that. It's just recently. It's not out yet. The trailer came out, but it's basically you're a ninja master and you're fighting things, but you're fighting using rhythm.
Yeah.
And it's exactly this kind of idea of, you know, I could see that as a guitar game.
Is that Parappa the Rappa?
No.
There's a game that just came out too. That was what's his name that invented Prince of Persia. What's his name?
I forget. I'm sorry.
This is awful. We should all know this dude's name. He made a platform on the Apple II with his own animations. Oh, it's so good. Anyways,
I'm not up on my Apple II gaming
either. Let me Google that for you.
Okay. Yes, please Google it. But anyways, he made a game that was that they just redid that is a rhythm-based fighting game,
mm-hmm.
but it's competitive fighting. So it's like Mortal Kombat, except instead of all these crazy combos, whatever, it's just rhythm.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's on the App Store or something, or it's coming soon, or whatever. It's like Samurai, whatever. You're like Samurai, whatever.
I don't know.
It comes out, but it's a good, rhythm is a good way to do it. Like you said earlier, the Arkham games, mm-hmm. that is a combat system that is rhythm, as well as it is reaction time.
Yeah.
Jordan Mechner.
Sorry, Jordan. We know you're a big listener. Apologize.
I love you, Jordan. I love you, Jordan. Except you need to apologize to me for the Prince of Persia movie that you wrote.
Really, Jake Gyllenhaal? Come on.
No, actually, I love the hell out of the first 5 minutes of that movie because it was like it had like the music and like the sound effect from like when you like wrap around like the room and yep. the room is a puzzle in those games yep. and when they wrap around the room. There's a point where like Jake Gyllenhaal just like looks around and the music kind of goes in and actually like does like the close ups of different areas. And he's like piecing together how to like platform through this like battle thing, and I was like, oh yeah, I was like, that's some game mechanics coming in some movies, dog. And then the rest of the movie, I was like, oh Jesus Christ. And then, your dad's name, you have 9 brothers, 2 of which are bad, maybe one's okay, they're all killing each other, and then you have bald Kingsley that's just running around. I was so confused. And like they have to like stab a rock to prevent everything from happening.
How did this get greenlit?
I don't know.
It's a Prince of Persia movie.
I don't know.
The thing is, like, this is right now. I mean, this is a different topic entirely, but we're into like movies.
We're only 50 minutes in. Let's just video keep games, going.
Like, are we really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, yeah. This is Andy common. Doesn't know. The first couple were 2 hours.
Do you edit these?
No.
No. We just. Very minimally.
Well,
we're not even using the pieces of paper we have.
I know.
This is very common. That's right. When he says 2 minutes, that means the rest of the podcast.
That's why Ash was kind of mad. And I feel bad, but it's not like this was a bad discussion. No,
I feel like this whole podcast should be called The Grads Shit on the Undergrads.
No, see, the thing is, okay.
Guess what the title will be for this podcast.
We've done this stuff for our own games, too. Like, this is not, we're very critical of everything.
I want to bring them in and be like, all right, here's my game. And I walk away, and I see them being like, scream at the microphone because,
But speaking about movies and video games, so like that Gabe Newell and J.J. Abrams conversation.
This is a good segue. Great conversation. Okay. We'll wrap up with this one, by the way.
We're going to wrap up with this?
Do you want to be here for another hour?
Yes! Okay, no, I don't. Okay, so
we can cut it in half.
We haven't even done the David Cage stuff, which is like really integral to what we do.
Okay, fine. We'll keep going.
Okay, but.